The essence is Krishna. Who are we? Sometimes a moment of success, a moment when everything looks wonderful and everything, applause, 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 and another time, a moment of failure, many moments of failure. So who are we to draw the glory to ourselves? And certainly, who am I in this respect? So what shall I say? My life was empty. My life was a vacuum. I looked everywhere, and I saw that for my father it was the same. Because I saw that he had also not achieved satisfaction. He was a man just like me, looking for more. Only we looked in different directions. He looked in the direction of money and borrowing from the bank and expending everything he could have. And I just looked into the opposite direction, which sons often do. Somehow or other, whatever direction your father looks in nowadays, look in the opposite direction. So I was a typical product of my time in that regards. And what happened was, is that when he was trying to expend his facility by borrowing as much as he could from the bank, I was trying to minimize my facility and spend as little money as I could. And just somehow or other, get by. And that was the art. It was the time, we can say. The Beatles sang, "Money can't buy you love." And so that was something that was clear to us. Whatever it was, what love was, I also didn't know. So I became a seeker for something, for happiness, and no idea where it was to be found. And I traveled extensively until I came to Vrindavan. And Vrindavan is the land of Krishna. Vrindavan is not a land of this world. Vrindavan is a transcendental realm, and the dust in Vrindavan is not ordinary dust. The dust in Vrindavan is touched by Krishna's lotus feet, and that dust is transcendental in itself. So, in this way, when I came to Vrindavan, I could see the entire atmosphere is not mundane and not from this world. And what can I say? When I came to Vrindavan, it stayed with me. I stayed there. Although before, in my life, I always felt like a stranger, wherever I was. There were so many groups of people, and each time I was thinking, why am I here? In school, I was thinking, why am I here, really? So many groups I was with. And it was all right, but I always had that doubt. Why am I here? I felt like I'm a stranger here. But when I came to Vrindavan, somehow or other, I stayed there. I stayed there for a long time. And it became my home. So much so that if anybody says that I was born in Holland, then all I can say, that was my last life. Last life I was born in Holland. This life I was born in Vrindavan. Vrindavan. In that place, Vrindavan, there I took birth. There I awoke from slumber. There I came to consciousness. There I became to awareness of what is there in the world, there in that land of Vrindavan, in the land of Krishna. Because Krishna is what transformed everything, which gave everything a purpose. Yes. Just now, so many celebrations for the new year. So many firecrackers, millions. In America, you have the 4th of July. It's a big thing, right? And I, you know, it's like their national day. And I was there 1 year, and they made, with firecrackers, an American flag in the sky. Hey, only America can do such things. Don't ask how many millions, I don't know, but dollars, I'm talking now, how many millions of dollars that flag cost. That was just glittering in the sky for moments. And it was impressive, I can't deny it. I was like, wow. That was amazing. I mean, how can they do it? Really, it's amazing that they can do it. But then you start to think, and how much did it cost? And then you think, this is madness, insanity. Insanity. What could have been done for the benefit of the world with that money? Instead of proclaiming the glory of Uncle Sam. And so on. A fading glory, a fading glory. Uncle Sam is by long wrinkled and wrinkled, and his beard has gone like whiter than white, you know. And he's trembling and standing with a walking stick, and we're just wondering how long it can go on. And then China has just appeared on the block, fresh and youthful and just full of energy. And this is the game, taking over the world. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the song of the earth, the Bhumi Gita. It is a famous part of the Bhagavatam, the Bhumi Gita. And the earth is saying, so many have come and tried to build their kingdoms on my service. And many great kings appeared, great palaces were built, and so on. But where are they now? What is left of them? Now, tourists get their pictures taken on the ruins. That's about it, you know. It's all it's good for. And even they will not last. Only names are still left somewhere in history books. Endless names that you have to memorize, and oh, did I hate that, you know, memorizing all these names of all these politicians of the past. Oh gosh, you know, what do I care what happened in 1600? What do I care? And Napoleon, yes, Napoleon won the war. Do you know why Napoleon won the war? I learned that from some military historian, right? That Napoleon won the war because he gave up the codes of honor. There was this kind of, on the battlefield, two armies would assemble each on either side, and they would stand there, and one would say, after you. The other would say, no, after you, please. No, after you, after you. Which meant, they had like these kind of guns which had one bullet, right? And basically, well, you know, whoever would like, you get one shot, right? And whoever went down, and those who were still standing would shoot back. Then reload the gun, and you know, the last one standing won the war. And that was going on before Napoleon. What Napoleon did, he invented the bayonet, this sort of sword that goes on the end of the gun. So they shot the bullet first, bang, and then instead of waiting for the others to politely also, you know, get their turn, they ran forward with the bayonet and killed them all before they could shoot. And no one had an answer to that. And with that, he ended Kshatriya principles of warfare, of like, where the Kshatriyas, the warriors, were following principles of Dharma and saw fighting as an exchange of Dharma. And instead, he went to the low-level, treacherous way of fighting of modern times, the way, the fighting of the Sudra, preferably shoot in the back or bomb from high in the sky, from far away, send missiles, send drones, and whatever you can. the war of the coward. All right, we live in peace. May the world be in peace. I'm not sure, to be honest. The times are such that I'm not sure if there's going to be peace. No. But let us have peace of mind. Let us have at least know that we are protected by Krishna. Krishna is our well-wisher at all times. Krishna is always protecting the soul. Sometimes protecting the body also, and sometimes not. But the soul, Krishna always protects. In this way, there is no fear. It cannot be that anything goes wrong. Right? Bhagavad Gita states that whatever you remember at the time of death, that you will attain. Of course, it's the consciousness that one has developed at that time will determine. So one's credits with Krishna will determine. So that is our that is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He created those opportunities. He created opportunities for everyone. This marquee is also such an opportunity. It is an opportunity for us to do something for Krishna. So the center of the evening is right next to me here on this altar. Gopal, he likes to travel also. Gopal, although still at a young age, you know, has been all over the world. Our Gopal has even been in China, you know, which is a far destination. Our Gopal, even at his young age, is already well traveled. He is the center of the evening. He is the personality who can change everything. He has appeared for us in a deity form because we cannot otherwise see him. It's due to our eyes. We remember many times how Srila Prabhupada was asked this question, if he could see God. And Prabhupada said, yes. And you can also see. Oh, I can also see. Oh, yes. Then you make me see. Prabhupada said, yes, but first you have to change your life. You have to change your vision. Like when you have cataract, you have to first remove it before you can see. So we have to remove. We have to change our lifestyle. Because Naham Prakasa Service Yoga Maya Samavrita, Krishna says that he covers himself. He covers himself from those who are materialists, who are not his devotees. He only reveals himself to those who are dedicating themselves to him. Manmana Bhava Bhattu Mataji Mamnamaskaru. Those who are bowing down to Krishna, surrendering their life to Krishna, and serving him with love, to them, Krishna, they become dear to Krishna. And then Krishna lifts the veil and makes himself available. That is the nature of Krishna. And that is the mystery of this world. We can sense it. We can sense it that there is a Supreme Lord. We believe, many of us believe it. But exactly how he looks, what he does, that is difficult to understand. Then there are prophets who see more than others, and they are sort of revealing things, and then they get followers. And like this, various traditions come about. And sometimes the Supreme Lord appears himself, like Krishna did 5,000 years ago in Vrindavan. There, every moment of the time he spent in Vrindavan is still remembered. Every inch of Vrindavan is a holy place, and everywhere people are worshipping Krishna and remembering. When Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, people are remembering. Every day, so many people are worshipping Govardhan Hill, so many places there in Vrindavan, where Krishna is remembered, where his activities are remembered. And that is just amazing. So this spirit of remembering the mercy of Krishna is important. Krishna comes to us. Although we cannot see him, he comes and manifests himself. So when he does manifest himself in this world, and whatever he does, that is remembered. And that is very carefully preserved by the devotees. And that is basically what the devotees continue to discuss again and again. Again and again. They discuss what Krishna did and how he did and what it means. Yesterday we were discussing how Krishna went to meet two devotees. One was a king in Maitila, in the kingdom of Videha. There was a king named Bahulasva, and there was a brahmana named Shrutadeva. And Krishna met both of them, and we discussed that last night in Phoenix. And also that Krishna traveled, that he traveled with all these personalities. And he was traveling with Vyasadeva, and Narada Muni was there, and Sukadev Goswami was there. So Narada, Vyas, and Sukadev, three generations of spiritual masters. Brihaspati was also there, spiritual master of the demigods. So a lineup of acharyas, and it is like that, because Krishna is saying in Srimad Bhagavatam that through the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas, he is purifying the three worlds. So this is actually what is going on, the devotees. And why is it so? Because these devotees, they spent their time simply worshipping Krishna. Nothing else. Nothing else. Everything just constantly from one to another. In every situation, Krishna in the center, and Krishna being remembered. For those who haven't heard, in India, I have a friend named Mr. Gupta. He lives in Indore. I haven't seen him for years, actually, but he's a nice man. He sells truck parts. Got a business like that. So he sits in his store, and in the back, there are shelves in the back and counters, and people come in. He sells different parts. And everywhere he has pictures of Krishna. All over the walls, on the ceiling, on the doorknobs, on his pen, on his watch. You cannot imagine. Wherever you could put a picture of Krishna, he has one. He has one. It's just amazing. And whenever you're there, you cannot look in any direction or see Krishna. So I asked him, I said, Mr. Gupta, why is it that you have so many pictures of Krishna? He said, well, I might just forget him. So I was like, a unique personality, such a desire to remember Krishna. And he just put pictures everywhere. At night when he comes home, he does an aarti at home, and the whole family has to come. Everyone. The kids don't want to, but doesn't matter. They have to. He's a terror in that way, Mr. Gupta. No escape. They all got to come. The whole house. Everybody. And just join the arti. But I have this feeling that if he goes on like this, at the end of his life, right, Krishna will not forget him. Surely, don't forget that one who is always calling out to Krishna, at the end of life, Krishna will call out to him. So like that. This is very nice. So this is simply our purpose, to spend a little time in this tent. But, well, it's like a tent. We can easily turn it into something else. We had a retreat and we turned all the mountains into Govardhan, we turned all the streams into the Yamuna. We did, the whole thing was Vrindavan. It was like not very difficult. Of course, our problem was that the gopis had so much love for Krishna, we could not get there to that level. Rather, we felt a little bit like we remembered Uddhava. Uddhava came from the outside and saw all these gopis there and was just amazed. And we knew that we were way behind Uddhava, somewhere also, outsiders, looking into the spiritual realm. But still, even although we were outsiders, it helped us to change the world around us and use it to remember Vrindavan. Just like now, we could imagine that when Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan, when they were under Govardhan Hill, it was practically like being in a tent. and rain, rain. Oh, was it raining? No, serious buckets. But nothing happened. It said, although, so much rain actually came, because there is these special clouds, these Samvartaka clouds, right, which are meant for the deluge. They have, when it starts raining from those clouds, it says the water is as thick as thighs, So it comes down quite well, and it was coming down in that way. So obviously all of Vrindavan should have just been completely inundated, and even the people should have just flooded out under the hill. But that didn't happen because somehow or other the sun was also shining, and the sun became much hotter than usual. And that's why whenever the water hit the ground, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains, it immediately evaporated. So therefore no water came under the hill. So there was no problem. But in a way, it feels a bit like being under a hill, so in a marquee like that. Not difficult. Not difficult to suddenly imagine that we are under Govardhan Hill. There must be some cows in the back. I don't see them right now, but are there any cows there? Do I hear any cows? That was a calf. Or maybe a goat also. Any cows in the back? Bulls also. See, you can hear the difference between a cow and a bull. A cow goes like, and a bull goes like, I speak those languages. And of course there are peacocks under the hill as well. Anyway, I don't know what else we have under the hill.
Monkeys.
Huh? Any monkeys here? Anyway, whatever we had, all were there under Govardhan Hill, and really, I mean, Nanda Maharaj had a huge number of cows, a huge number. We were reading the other day how Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 white cows, each with golden horns. Remember? And so they were all on the Govardhan Hill. And obviously not only Nandamaraj's cows, everybody's cows were under that hill. Now if you start calculating how big Govardhan Hill is and how much space each cow takes, and then all the people, then in the end you say, mathematically, it doesn't fit. That hill by no means could have given shelter to that many animals and that many people. Yeah. But somehow or other, that is the nature of this pastime, that Krishna somehow or other arranged that there was shelter. And that is the miracle of Krishna's shelter. It looks like how can Krishna deal with all these living entities? But somehow or other Krishna can provide for all living entities. That is the nature of Krishna. When Krishna is picnicking with the cowherd boys, every cowherd boy is seeing that Krishna is looking at him. And so it is described. So Krishna has a personal relationship with everyone. When Krishna was in Dwarka, he married 16,108 wives. My God, can you imagine if you have 16,107 co-wives, you know what I mean? I mean, how often are you going to see your husband, you know? He's not going to be home very often. If he just spends one evening with all his wives, then you get like 16,000 divided by 365. Well, let's do it 400 just for the easy sake. Huh? So, you know, then it's already like 400. Yeah, I know, 400, 16,000 divided by 400. So that's like 400 years. 400 years. I mean, I don't know if all the wives are even going to see him. You know what I mean? And we can put all the wives together in a football stadium. My dear wives, I am very happy. Good morning. It's like, again, you know, so how did it all work? You know? I mean, how can anybody have 16,108 wives? But it was not a problem because Krishna was present in all the palaces at the same time. So that is Krishna. Krishna can satisfy every individual and has a personal relationship with everyone, including us. And it's there that we'll actually find full satisfaction. In nothing else. In nothing else. I always tell stories, and one of my stories is the opening of the Delhi temple, where, you know, there was like somehow or other serious security because the Prime Minister of India was coming, and it was a big thing, you know. I mean, before he came, they even cleaned the road, and it was clean. I don't know how they did it, but I tell you, it was clean. I've never seen it like that, never seen it like that again. But it was clean. And then, you know, the most important man in India was coming to our temple. So they sent in black cat commandos, you know, with sniffer dogs. And they were, and bomb detectors, etc. And they were all over the temple. And one minute you saw the cat commandos with the dogs on the roof sniffing it out. And next moment, my door just burst open, and there they were. I got sniffed, I got bomb tested by these black cats and by these dogs, and in the end, I got clear, and I got VVIP status, which meant, you know, that I could be inside. I could be inside when the Prime Minister was there. Well, you know, it was a momentous day. The number one in all of India was there that day of the opening of the Delhi temple. He was personally present. Oh, there were lots of people who were trying to get their picture taken with the Prime Minister. Some are trying to get in the picture, etc. But I tell you, when the Prime Minister spoke, he actually pointed out that, yes, indeed, on that day, the most important person in all of India was present in that temple, namely Krishna. Shishi Radha Parthasarathi, the name of the deities, the angelic. And that was something, okay? That a president of a country like India could say such a thing. That was something. That was something. And then he said, like, well, you know, something is still alive in India, you know? Something is still there, right? There are these moments, you know, where India, in, you know, still shows something, where we go like, ah, you know? Just like, yeah, there was this this issue when somewhere an attack was launched on Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, yeah? And in Russia. And basically what was going on, through a lower court, a district court, there was a case that the Gita was like of a political nature, and that therefore it had to be banned. And the court, yes, passed an order and banned the Gita. Well, you know what I mean? That was something. When it came, when the news came to India, it created a riot in the parliament. It didn't create a riot in the street. It created a riot in the parliament. It was an uproar. I mean, members of parliament started like they lost it. They shouted. They just spoke out against, how is this possible? And Russia tried, you know, I mean, they had to adjourn the meetings, and in the days after that, you know, quick, Russia, a message came all the way from, I guess it was already Putin, you know, that, like, actually it wasn't really the Gita itself, you know, that they were having a problem with, but with the Gita of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And the Indian members of parliament didn't give an inch. Not an inch they gave, you know. And all of India got in it. And you have Amul butter, you know, in India. And you can't get more Indian than Amul butter, right? It's as Indian can be, Amul butter. And Amul butter has these big billboards. And there was, you know, on the Amul butter billboard, an advertisement of, like, you know, it's like someone dressed in an Indian dress giving a Bhagavad Gita to Russia, and under it said, "To Russia with love." I mean, a pun on the James Bond movie called From Russia with Love, you know, if you may remember the movie. If not, you're lucky. I'm trying to forget it, but it's tough. It's tough. Burn into my brain. From Russia with Love, Gold Finger, Scarred for Life. What to do? Oh no. Anyway, but this time, From Russia with Love, Amul butter. I still have that picture somewhere. It's glorious. In those moments, India shows, you know, shows its colors. Shows that it is a land, you know, of where Lord Krishna is recognized as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and where, as the worshipable deity. In this way, India is glorious. When the tsunami hit, all of, you know, so many countries got affected by a great disaster. India also, you know, this huge tidal wave wiped out the homes of many people. 7,000 people died in India. Not as many as in other places, but still 7,000. So, you know, the United Nations and everyone wanted to help. And India said, it's okay. It's all right. We can deal with this thing, these things. It's okay. We can deal with these things. And they can deal with these things. Because they can see ultimately the will of the Lord. And they can ultimately take shelter of Krishna. And they can ultimately take shelter in transcendental knowledge and remember the Bhagavad Gita and the message that the soul is eternal and never affected. That emerges at these times. And that is the strength, the incredible strength, the unbreakable strength of India. The faith in eternity, and in that we are not this body, and that we are eternal spirit souls. I saw it on my first journey in India when a beggar died in the street, and when, you know, I'd seen it the day before, and next morning I come out of the hotel and there's this beggar lying dead in the street. People walked past, they threw coins on the body. Within 15-20 minutes, the body was buried in coins. I'm like, wow, this guy never had a cracker in his life, and now they bury him in money. Yeah? What's going on? I asked someone, and they said, when a person dies, then said the soul goes out of the body, and this person cannot go back inside anymore, but he's trying to go back inside. Therefore, the body must be burned. So, but this man had no money. Therefore, everyone, there's no money to buy the firewood. So, in order to help him to continue on his journey and to give up this effort to try and go back, everyone gave something so he could buy the firewood, body to be burned, force him to move on to the next destination. And it was so far out. To save his life, they wouldn't give anything. To save his soul, everybody was ready to chip in. And many are from Europe, you know, where they spent like $1 million to save someone's life. We were just reading the other day, actually a heart transplant in America cost $1 million. That was the heart transplant. So that's a lot of money, just to save one person. God. Anyway, we are here today under Govardhan Hill. You hear some thunder in the distance. Some peacocks. Basically, we are in Vrindavan. So the more we are living in this Vrindavan consciousness, in the Bhakti Sandarbha, it is Jiva Goswami explains that Vrindavan is a state of consciousness. So the more we live internally, always in that abode with Krishna, more whatever happens in this world. So be it. It comes and goes. And we try to engage the things of this world in the service of Krishna, and in that way make the best use of the material energy as much as it works. And not everything is going to work. It's not. See, people come many times. Somehow or other, there is a tradition that when you finally get to see a Swami alone, that then you should tell him all your misery. whatever misery, you save it up for the sannyasi, for the Swami. And when you get a chance to talk to him, you dump it all, you throw it all out there. So, you know, and that seems to be a tradition. There's a lot of people that actually come and do that. And then you think, like, okay, did nothing good happen? No, many good things. Why don't you tell me about them? No, I thought I was supposed to tell you everything about my misery. No, actually, you should tell me everything about the good things that happened. The misery, forget about it. Just forget about it. You know, it's not so significant. It's gone already, see? Why even remember it? It's gone. It's over. The misery is gone. There's no more. It's not here now. Yeah? So why worry about it? Yeah, it's gone already. So why think about it? Oh my God, when I was 1.5, I still remember. And when I was 1.75, maybe that was even worse. When I was 2, oh gosh. You know? Yeah, I mean, can remember certain things, you know. Everyone can remember something. But what? What to do? There are those people for whom the clock stops. And they don't move on from the calamity. It just stays with them, you know, for the rest of their life. They relive it and relive it and relive it and relive it. Why? Okay, get some tissues. Okay, cry a bit, you know. All right, you know. And then what, you know? Okay. That's a nice way to express the emotions, but what's it going to do? Crying has never put things back together. No matter how much you cry, it's never put it back together. No use crying over spilled milk, so they say. So the point is, at one point, move on. Move on and make something good of the present. And if we do, in the present, we are in Vrindavan. We are there. In the present, we are with Krishna. Because Krishna is here. In a small form. A small form of Gopal. But that small form of Gopal has all the potency of Krishna. It's not that if the deity is bigger, he's more powerful. If the deity is smaller, only small power. Yeah, small power. My deity is bigger than you. Yeah. I've got the biggest of the biggest. Yeah. No, but we are like that. You know, and like you have these things in India. You know, the big Hanuman or the big Durga deity or the big Shiva deity. Oh, very big. Oh, must be very powerful. No, the big Krishna, but here we have small. He may be very small, but he's Krishna. He's Krishna. Krishna is actually here. There is no doubt about that. And when Krishna is here, Krishna brings also the spiritual world with him. So we are really here in the spiritual world. Just the fact that the deity is here. Our world has transformed. The holy name. Same, the holy name was here. We're actually sitting on the street, right? Although it doesn't look like it, you know, but that's really, you know, we're basically sitting on the street. We're on the street, what can we say? But it doesn't matter, because we've just transformed the street. Not just imaginary, not just mentally, but really, the whole street now is purified by the holy name. And whenever we walk here now, every day, we get purified. Everybody, the neighbors, the whole neighborhood here. It's now the street has changed. So, blessings in the street. Krishna now, his blessings are present in the street. So simple and so powerful. So such a program is not an insignificant thing. The presence of the holy name, the presence of the deities, it's just amazing. And that's basically what we're doing. Like I'm a Swami and I've sort of been announced as the guest of honor, but I try to take advantage, try to take advantage of any opportunity to take shelter of the holy name, to take shelter of the deities, take shelter of anything related to Krishna. And then that's the one thing that sort of keeps me in a transcendental situation. Because when we try to take shelter of the name and of Krishna, and then naturally we remember Krishna, and then we're in a transcendental situation, and then everything else is gone. There is no misery. where there's Krishna. There's only, doesn't exist. Krishna is, everything is blissful in connection with Krishna. And that is the secret. It is very simple. Again and again, let us worship Krishna. So today here in Petersburg, yesterday in Phoenix, then in the Drakensberg, and before that, I was in deep, dark Bavarian forest in Germany. It was dark even early in the day. It was cold. But there was Lord Nrsimha there, who needed to cool down. A big, powerful presence. Really powerful. Hot. Burning eyes. But he got a nice cooling abhishek. So, that was all right. And he's merciful. He's merciful. And he protects. He's the protector of Europe. And
I think even South Africa, because it's on the same line. And I've brought already expansions of him to South Africa. Several devotees already have different sizes, versions, and I'll bring more. So gradually. He's at home here after all. A lion. Yes. So, like that, start the new year with Lord Nrsimha. Well, good beginning. So somehow or other, we try to fill our year, our months. Each month brings us something special. Well, I don't know, what does January bring?
Vaitacharya,
no? It's already later. January, see?
January.
Gosh, I'd have to look. Okay, I'm going to check it out now. I need a phone for this. No problem. We'll do it quickly. Give us a second. Now what is, that's the boarding pass, that's not now. Okay, here it is, the program, Jiko, Amavasya, 9th of January, it's Amavasya. It's the dark night. Jiva Goswami's disappearance, okay, coming up, Ganga Sagara Mela. That's something. So the Ganga, on the day the Ganga went to the there is always something. Some of the acharyas appeared, Gopabhata Goswami appeared, Jayadev Goswami disappeared, Lokesh Thakur. Some celebrations we have of great personalities of the Ganga. There's always some opportunity. This Vaishnav calendar, which I have on my phone, I hope you also have. Or if you don't, I don't know if there's an app for you. But to live, you can also get a printout. But the Vaishnav calendar is a further opportunity for us to remember Krishna every day, every month. There's something special. Every other day, there's a special opportunity to dedicate ourselves to Krishna. Ekadasi. One can say, oh, I don't like Ekadasi. I can't have my toast. Ekadasi. Anyway, then you can have Ekadasi pizza. You never had Ekadasi pizza. No? Then you have to take sannyas. When you take sannyas, you can always have a privacy pizza. Yeah? Anyway, so like this, what can I say? It is a way to make your ekadasis very exciting. And that way is by chanting Hare Krishna. Simply by chanting, simply by hearing about Krishna. And then, take some prasad. I used to hear how Srila Prabhupada once told a story, and he said that two old men in Bengal, one invited the other, and it was a whole thing. When he came to the house, he saw that the host had prepared a huge feast. A huge feast. And then the guest just looked at everything and said, a wonderful arrangement. He never ate anything, went home, and just left it like that. Now, when I first heard that story, I was about 24, I guess. And I thought it was the strangest story I ever heard. I thought that was weird. Now, I'm almost 64, this is almost 40 years later, and now I think it makes a lot of sense. Now I think, hey, this is really nice, actually. And I can do it now. Eat with my eyes and look at it and see, oh, that's very nice. The other day I was in the Drakensberg and, our cooks had become sick. There was something spooky about the Drakensberg. Now, first the organizer of the festival wound up in the hospital at the beginning. Then the person who replaced him also, and the cooks also became sick, so it was a little spooky. But anyway, so I decided I'm not going to manage anything. So I was winding up in the hospital. But anyway, I went into the kitchen to see, and then I saw at one point this one devotee making a cake, and she couldn't close the oven for some reason. So she was standing there holding the door of the oven, waiting for the cake to bake. Now, that's serious patience. Yeah? Serious. And I knew, that cake is full of bhakti. Right? And later on, I particularly went back to have a look at that cake. Because I knew that cake is special. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't taste that cake because I can't eat cake. I'm sorry. But I saw that cake was very transcendental, very. I hope whoever was there, that they had lots of cake. I saw people walking away with big plates. So I think it worked. But basically, yes. This dedication to Krishna, somehow or other, if we make Krishna the center and dedicate our energy to Krishna, to make a wonderful offering to Krishna, then everything is transformed. And then it doesn't matter whether we sit in the road or whether we sit in the palace or wherever we are. Every place is transformed into the spiritual world, and we will always be blissful. So simple. Okay, now this is the theory, and now to put it in practice is a little bit difficult, but anyway, we try again and again, and the more we try, like anything, the better you get it. Like, for example, let me just give just a few music lessons at the moment. When you sing, right? And then it goes into the high notes. Then you have the lazy people, right? And they just don't hit the high note. So when the note goes like ha, ha, they go somewhat halfway. Like the cows in the back.
they moo and they, or some, but anyway, there's lots of varieties. Some go double high, you know. Zing, the glass breaks. Anyway, but why am I saying lazy? I'm saying lazy because the ones that can't hit the note are the ones that are too lazy to breathe. It all began there. It wasn't that you couldn't sing. You can. It's just that you never breathe. You know what it's like when there's air in your lungs. Ah, the ecstasy. Big lungs like big balloons blowing up. And suddenly you try up, a little higher, up, a little more, up. You can do it. Almost, yes, 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 you can, yes, yes. Now, honestly speaking, I can give singing lessons, and I can make people that cannot sing, sing. Yeah, I've done it before. Yeah. So I just wanted to, with this, remove the mental block, you know, from I cannot sing. No, breathe. Try to breathe before you try to sing. It helps a lot when you have some air in your lungs and you make the sound. That's a good beginning. And, well, that's lesson number one. Yeah. Takes a few lessons. So anyway, but let us somehow or other try and offer Krishna the best we can, as often as we can, and that is Krishna consciousness. So, is there any question or any comment? Comments are welcome.
Sorry, Maharaj, this increase in the temperatures, is it due to a sinful increase in sinful activity in the
country? Increase in the temperatures? I mean, is it warmer in Johannesburg now than it used to?
Of course it is. Why not? It is.
I mean, are you melting?
No, not today. I mean, generally. The general increase.
But thanks for reminding me. Yes.
You got the last part. Is it due to an increase in sinful activities in Kali Yuga?
Well, how about even some sinful activities from before Kali Yuga?
But why is it getting worse?
If the momentum was building up. Mm. Yeah. 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 Anadristi we're going to have. Actually, what we are facing is, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, in the age of Kali, we will face anadristi, drought. Oh, in the Berg, we really saw some drought. Yeah? All the previous year, where we went on adventure trips through, wading through fast currents and rivers, this year they were only like 60 centimeters wide. We stepped across. Some almost fell in, but I can tell you, it's not easy to fall in the stream of 60 centimeters. But there's always a devotee who can manage that. At the same time, though, it's not easy. Kali Yuga. So, you know, now that we're on the topic, we may as well talk about Kali Yuga. I'll tell you, Kali Yuga, you know, Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga, it's Kali Yuga everywhere, Kali Yuga, Kali, Kali, Yuga, Yuga, it's really there. in Hillbrow, when the people came over the hill, and overnight the whole thing turned to a ghetto, right? And there were gunshots during the day, right? That's when we made a big mistake and sold our temple. We should have kept it. Oh boy, should we have kept it? But anyway, such is life. But around the corner from that temple, there was a bar. And you know the name of the bar? Kali Yuga. Really. I looked inside, didn't go, but it looked like it was worthy of the name. So, Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga. In the morning I get up and, every morning I just chanted Kali Kali Yuga Yuga, Kali Kali Yuga Yuga, Kali Kali Yuga Yuga, Kali Yuga, Kali Kali Yuga Yuga, Kali 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 Yuga, Kali Kali Yuga Yuga, Kali Kali Yuga Yuga. God, it's Kali Yuga, it's bad, 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 Kali Yuga, bad times, God, it's so bad. Oh no, misery is coming, it's going to get worse and worse, it's going to get hotter. I hope so, but anyway. I went to Karoli. You know Karoli? Karoli is in Rajasthan. It is the deity of one of the deities of Vrindavan went there because it was a kingdom that was protected. When the Muslims were disturbing Vrindavan, they took Madan Mohan to Karoli. And the deity is amazing because the deity is smiling. You see Madan Mohan. What a smile. Anyway, so I was there, and then the pujari was very nice to me and gave me a full plate of prasad. So I said to the pujari, I said, this is such a nice place, it's so nice here. If you know what it's like, out there, Kali Yuga is really rampant. Then he looked at me and said, Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga. There are 1,000 Kali Yugas in a day of Brahma. So ever since I met that pujari, I stopped chanting Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga, Yuga Yuga, Kali Kali. That's not because I realized, he gave me a gift, that pujari. He really gave me a gift of seeing how relative these things are, insignificant. It was amazing. A gift for life, I'll never forget. With all due respect, Krishna. Kali Yuga is the best. This is not Kali Yuga. Who says this is Kali Yuga?
Anybody saying this is Kali Yuga?
No, this is not Kali Yuga. This is Chaitanya Yuga. Are you realizing? This is Chaitanya Yuga. And it says that a jewel, as a jewel is put on a black background, in the same way, the golden avatar appears on a black background of Kali Yuga. So that he looks even more, It's Chaitanya. Let it get hot, let it get cold, let it get whatever. It means that, somehow or other, let the change come fast. I was with Indrajula Maharaj in Sydney, in the year 2000. And it's there where the date line is in the world, and therefore it's there that, it was New Year before anywhere else. And we were waiting for all the computers to break down, for the lights to go off. I must admit, I had a torch in my pocket in case the light would go off, But was I hoping it would go off? My God, was I hoping? I was hoping then that all the computers would collapse and that the whole world, that it would just stop in its tracks right there and then. And that suddenly there would be a revolution. Let it come, the revolution, the change. Because we know what it will bring. It will bring Lord Chaitanya in the golden age. So this is wonderful. So we are ready. Let it come. okay, the time has been flying, the actors are all ready to go. I see them all in their outfits. I don't know what they're going to do, but they look like they bring us something on the spiritual. Why don't we just go straight on into the play? How about that? Is that a good suggestion? So we are ready. The audience is here. We are all here. Whatever. Do we need more space? If we need more space, do I move?